We are in the sixth lesson in the book of Leviticus, and we're going to be starting in Leviticus chapter 8. And this is really where the fun in this book begins, because finally, for the first time, all that we have learned about the different offerings and the details of the offerings that were presented to Moses there in the tent of meeting, that were to be given out to the people of the nation of Israel for the very first time, are going to be put to use today as we see the ordination of Aaron and his sons as the priest of the nation of Israel. So, with that, we start our study with the details and the laws in place concerning the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sacrifice of peace offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering. It was time for the ordination of Aaron and his sons. And all the details of the laws that were so important in that time to the nation of Israel, they were about to experience them for the first time. And in doing so, it required something to happen. The consecration of the tabernacle complex and the ordinance of the priest to get it all started was so important with these offerings that the Lord had laid out in the first seven chapters. Now, Moses was in charge of the events of the day. He was the master of ceremony, we might say. He would be the one who would consecrate the tabernacle and preside over the ceremony of the anointing of the priest. There were no priests to anoint the priest. So who was to do it? The leader of the nation. The date of this consecration and the ordination was recorded by Moses back in the book of Exodus. And I believe it would be worthwhile for us to hear the record again to set the stage for the details in our study today. Exodus chapter 40, we're going to read this passage, this record. Now, as you see going across the screen and you're reading along the words with me, if you see anything inside of parentheses, those are my words. I am telling you what we're talking about in my words. So those are not in the scripture, and you'll understand as we get there. Starting in chapter 40, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, that would be Nisan, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. The tabernacle stood inside the tent of meeting. You shall place the Ark of the Testimony. Now we know that is the Ark of the Covenant. There, and you shall screen the Ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs in it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the golden altar of incense before the Ark of the Testimony and set up the veil of the doorway to the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of the burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the laver, that's the basin of water, between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Now he goes on in verse 9 with the instructions for the anointing of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it and shall consecrate it in all its furnishings and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver, that's the basin, and its stand and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them in water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister as a priest to me. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. and their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Exodus 40, chapters, verses 1 through 16. Now in the rest of Exodus, chapter 40, starting with verse 17, we can read about each step that Moses took to fulfill the instructions that we just read. So on the first day of Nisan, we know the year is 1464 BC, Moses led the erection of the tabernacle complex with the material that had been prepared by the people. He then anointed the complex to consecrate it in preparation for the ordination ceremony. So he then brought Aaron and his sons to the complex and performed the ceremony just as he was instructed to do. So here in Leviticus chapter 8, the mystery writer introduces the Lord's instructions to Moses for the ordination ceremony of Aaron and his sons on the day, or the same day, as the erection and the consecration of the tabernacle complex. Verse 1, chapter 8 of Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the door of the tent of meeting." So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. On the day of the ordination of Aaron and his sons, that's day one, Moses brought Aaron, his sons, and the garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, the unleavened bread, which was to be used for a grain offering, and the men and the items were gathered together at the doorway of the tent of meeting, which covered the holy tabernacle. Now, when everything was ready and the congregation was assembled, verse 4, part B, says the following. When the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do." So the announcement to the nation is not too surprising. What I find surprising is what is not said or explained in this verse. Now the curtains that surrounded the courtyard of the complex were high enough that no one outside the curtains could have seen in. The courtyard curtains was 175 feet long and 87.5 feet wide. It would have been absolutely impossible for 601,730 men age 20 and over to gather inside the courtyard here of this tabernacle complex to watch. It could not happen. The whole square footage inside of this complex in this courtyard is only 15,313.5 square feet. When you divide 601,730 people by that amount, you're going to find out that if one man could stand in one square foot, it is impossible to do. I take up 4 square feet. But if one man, if I could stand in one square foot and put a man on top of me, not sitting on my shoulders, because to take up the space, but standing on my shoulders, 39 of us would have to stand straight up and down, surrounded by 15,313 other people, with 39 people standing in a row, 39 people high to get inside that courtroom. It is an impossibility. But the clue to this problem is actually found in the passage that we read just a few minutes ago in Exodus chapter 40, verse 8. I want to remind you of what it said. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Now the Lord did not instruct. I'm going to show you this, okay? Here's the tent of meeting. Inside of this is the tabernacle of the Lord. Here's the curtain that is the doorway into the tabernacle area. Here is the basin of water filled with water. Here is the brazen altar that we've talked so much about. Here is the curtain that is the way you get into this complex area. Here is the curtain that is high enough that anybody outside of it can't see in. What the Lord told Moses was he was to set up all of this and he was to hang this curtain here that would be the doorway in. He did not instruct Moses to put this outer screen up yet. It would have been put up last. So, let me just fill you in a little more. In setting up this area, they would have had to bring in the tabernacle, the basin, the water, the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the candlestick, which we call the menorah, that brazen altar. But he says nothing about this curtain, outside curtain. So he told Moses to hang this veil that acted like the door of the curtain boundary on that east side. Because of the way Moses was told to have the poles made and the braces for this veil to hang, it could be constructed. It did not rely on this outside curtain. It was an honor system. You just knew when you could come and go. There was no security here. So this curtain could be hung when we get into Exodus chapter 4. We know how this curtain is hung. It doesn't need the rest of the curtains all the way around. In fact, I would suppose that after they set all this up, they hung this curtain first so it would be directly in the middle, so then they could pull the other curtains all the way around and get it squared and perfect. That's the way I would do it. So therefore, when the assembly gathered at the doorway of the tent of meeting, it must have meant that they gathered all the way around this complex. All these people are hanging out way past, but where they can see what is going on without being barred by this barrier of the screen. So, with the people all around and all present, Moses followed the instructions. Verse 6. Then Moses had Aaron and his sons come near and washed them with water. The basin of the water that is here was for washing. It was located halfway between the front of this curtain to the tent of meeting and the brazen altar. Its first use that it was ever used for was to wash the hands and the feet of Moses and Aaron's son. Going back to Exodus chapter 40 and starting in verse 30 that we've not read yet, but we're going to do it now, it said this. He placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And from it, Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and feet. And when they entered the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so there, after they have washed, Moses dressed Aaron first. Verse 7. He put the tunic on him and girded him with the sash and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the artistic band of the ephod, which he tied it to him, and then placed the breastplate on him. And in the breastplate, he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he also placed the turban on his head. And on the turban, at its front, he placed the golden plate, the holy crown, just as the Lord had commanded him. So Moses did not stop here in Leviticus to explain the meaning of all of these pieces that made up this high priest's garment. He did not need to do that in this book because the people themselves had just finished making these just a short time before they're placed on Aaron. So they're not recorded here, but they're recorded over in the book of Exodus. And for purposes here today in this lesson, I have created a chart with the items and a short description. Now that chart is over in your written notes. And there is a list, and you'll see on the left-hand side is the list of the name of the item and the description that actually comes out of the book of Exodus for each of those. We are not going to take the time to discover each of those items because we discovered them in the lesson in Exodus. Now, as far as these items look to us, we are helpless. Long have they been gone from us, perhaps since the destruction of the temple by Titus in 70 AD. Nevertheless, we are thankful to a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus, who was born in 30 AD in Jerusalem and died in 100 AD in Rome. As a Jewish historian of the first century, he was writing for the Romans, and fortunately he gave us a written description of the various items which he had the privilege of seeing that were there in the temple that were being used. So I want to tell you this. For further details on these items and that chart, I have described them, these items, in my Exodus lesson 19, chapter 28 through 2 through 4, verses 2 through 4. So, if you want to study those, you can go to my website. It's jimhastings.org. Put the Jim and the Hastings together, jimhastings.org. Or you can go over to a quick link and go, when you go to my website, go to the Exodus lessons and go down to lesson number 19, and way off to the right hand side, you're going to see it says notes. Pull those notes up. You can also listen to the lesson, but pull those notes up and you can print them. And there is a detailed description of all of those items that were just mentioned here. Also in today's lesson, here in the notes, if you want to copy the link that's in the notes that you can print for this lesson, there's a link there that you can take you right to that lesson. So I hope you do that. So after dressing Aaron, Moses then turned around and he anointed the tabernacle complex. Verse 10. Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them, and anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, to consecrate them. So we find this story also back in Exodus chapter 40. Verse 9, then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. You shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver and its stand and consecrate it. So what we see is Moses is simply following the instruction here that was given and recorded in the book of Exodus. So then Moses, after he consecrated and anointed the tabernacle complex, Moses anointed Aaron, verse 12. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Over in Exodus chapter 40, verse 13 says, you shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister as a priest to me. Moses was just following the process of anointing and consecrating Aaron. And that meant that he was setting him apart from all the others so that he could be the high priest of the nation of Israel. From that moment on, when he was anointed, he was a different class from all of the people, not really only of the nation of Israel, but of the world, because at that moment, Aaron became the high priest of God. Next, Moses dressed Aaron's sons. And there we find in verse 13. Next, Moses had Aaron's sons come near and clothed them with tunics and girded them with sashes. and bound caps on them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, it's not mentioned here in Leviticus, but after dressing Aaron's sons, Moses anointed them too. We find that over in Exodus chapter 40, verse 14 through 15, where the Lord said, "You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me, and their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations." The men have been anointed. They have been consecrated. They have been set apart. So following the anointing of Aaron and his sons as priests, Moses offered a bull as a sin offering. Now, back in lesson 4 of Leviticus, we discovered the details of the ceremony of the sin offering. The Lord gave those instructions first so Moses would know how to perform it properly. It was finally time for the first sin offering to be experienced, and Moses would be the one to demonstrate that sin offering to Aaron and his sons so that they could then administer and perform that sin offering throughout their lives as duties of being priests. The same order of the sin offering was always the same. Let me give you a snapshot. The animal was offered. The laying on the hands occurred to transfer the sin. The animal was slain, skinned, and cut up. The blood was rubbed on the four horns. The fat was offered. The rest of the animal, including the hide, was burned to ashes outside the camp. So here is the record for this bull sin offering in Leviticus chapter 8, starting with verse 14. "Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Next, Moses slaughtered it and took the blood with his fingers, put some of it around the horns of the altar, and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make an atonement for it. And he also took all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar. But the bull and its hide, its flesh, and its refuse, he burned in the fire outside the camp, just as the Lord commanded Moses." Now, while we're right here, I want to go to the board again. Remember, we've studied and we found out if it was a bull, an ox, or a calf, it was slaughtered right here in front of the door. If it was a ram, sheep, or goat, it was slaughtered here on the north side of the altar. If it was the birds or the grain offering, it was presented right here at the west side of the altar. And it was all the blood and everything was poured over in here where they would connect the ashes. The fat was presented, that we just talked about, was presented by the one, in this case it was Moses, onto the altar from the east side. So whatever happened, it all happened right here in this order. If it was a sin offering, after the fat was put on here, all the rest of the animal, including the hide, was taken outside the camp somewhere and it was burned. Now, all sin offerings followed the same order. Okay, then we come to the first ram of the burnt offering for Aaron and his sons. So then Moses offered this ram, it's a male sheep, for a burnt offering. And we studied in detail the order of the ceremony for a burnt offering in the first lesson, chapter 1. This ram was the first burnt offering following the giving of the Lord's guidelines for it. It is the first burnt offering the nation has ever seen. And they're watching Moses do it for the first time to teach Aaron and his sons how to do it. The order of the burnt offering ceremony was always the same. Here it is. The animal, if it was a sheep, was offered on the north side of the brazen altar. If it's a burnt, it was offered over here. But it's a sheep. Okay, it's a ram. It's here, right here. The laying on the hands occurred to transfer the sin. The animal was slain, skinned, cut up. The blood was sprinkled around the brazen altar. It wasn't sprinkled on the four horns. It was sprinkled around the altar. And the legs and the entrails were washed and placed on the brazen altar. And all the rest of the animal was then put on the altar and burnt except the hide. And the hide was given to the priest. The hide was given to the priest. Here is the record of this ram sin offering in Leviticus chapter 8, starting in verse 18. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and sprinkled the blood around the altar. And when he had cut the ram into pieces, Moses offered up the head and the pieces and the suet, that's the fat, in smoke. And after he had washed the entrails and the legs with water, Moses offered up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The only thing that verse doesn't tell us is what happened to the hide. But the hide was given to the priest, and we know that. So then it was time for the second ram, second male sheep, to be brought to that north side of the altar where the first ram was also offered. And Aaron and his sons placed their hands on the ram there, and they transferred their sin just as they did in the other time. This was the ordination offering. Okay, we've not studied the ordination offering. And it had to do with consecrating Aaron and his sons. Therefore, we see a few new details in this offering that in the future, get this, will only apply to the ordination of priests. It will never apply to the ordination of any of the common people. So here's a snapshot of what we're about to see with its new details that will never be used except for the priest ordaining priest. The animal, if it was a sheep, was offered at the door of the north side of the brazen altar. It would always be a ram, by the way. The laying of the hands occurred to transfer the sin. The animal was slain, skinned, and cut up. The blood was placed on the right earlobe and the right big toe of the priest being ordained. And the rest of the blood was sprinkled around the brazen altar, not rubbed on the four corners. It is a burnt offering. So the new piece of information that we have right here is the blood that was caught is put on the right earlobe and the right big toe of the priest. And then the rest of the burnt offering is the same. The fat, including the fat tail, because this is a sheep, and the sheep have the fat tail, and that's included, and the right thigh, that's a new detail, were presented. So the grain offering comes into it also for this priest. In the grain offering, it was introduced in chapter 6, verse 9, starting with 19 through 23, one cake with oil, and one wafer was placed on both the fat that was on the altar and on the thigh. Aaron and his sons offered the fat and thighs as a wave offering. So get this. Aaron and his son took the fat that's on the kidneys and the lobes and all that. They waved it before the Lord. They took the thigh. They waved it for the Lord. They waved a cake with oil, and a wafer on each one of those, and they waved them before the Lord. Then they took the breast that was presented, took the fat off of it, waved it before the Lord, put it on the altar. And then they took the breast, and what they do, they're going to boil it because they're going to eat it because that's a wave offering. And they gave everything but the breast to Moses, who then took them and placed them on the brazen altar. And all the rest of the animals, the parts of the animal, was burned to ashes on the brazen altar except for the hide. Now the garments of Aaron and his sons were sprinkled with some of this blood and the anointing oil. The breast was boiled, and all the rest of the meat, the cakes and the wafers, were burned. And Aaron and his sons turned around and entered into the tent of meeting and stayed inside for 7 days. changes that we've not seen in a burnt offering, but this is an ordination offering presented here for the very first time. Here is the whole story in the book of Leviticus, chapter 8, starting with verse 22, that tells us that. Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses slaughtered it and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of Aaron's right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And he also had Aaron's son come near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of the right ear and on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. And Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around the altar. And he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer and placed them on the portions of the fat and on the right thigh. He then put all these on the hands of Aaron and on the hands of his sons and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. And then Moses took them from their hands and offered them up in smoke on the altar of the burnt offering. They were an ordination offering of a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord. Moses also took the breast and presented it as a wave offering before the Lord. And it was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments and his sons and the garments of his sons with him. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, "Boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting and eat it there together with the bread which is in the basket of the ordination offering, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. The remainder of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn in the fire. You shall not go outside of the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the day that the period of your ordination is fulfilled, for he will ordain you through 7 days. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement for on your behalf at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you will not die, for so I have been commanded." Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. Now, I must apologize. A while ago when I was talking about putting the blood on the lobe, the ear, and the big toe, it's also on the right thumb, so I hope you caught that. And that breast was boiled to feed Aaron and his sons when they went inside that tent of meeting for 7 days. But then comes the 8th day. When Aaron and his sons are to come out of the tent of meeting. So Moses came to the tent of meeting and called Aaron and his sons to come out of that tent. And Moses also called all the elders to join them there in that complex. Chapter 9, verse 1 tells us what Moses said next. "Now it came about on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, 'Take for yourselves a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord.'" And so we have Aaron and his sons taking a calf and a ram. So on this 8th day, there's going to be 2 offerings for Aaron and his sons. And at the same time, Moses had given the instruction for the elders to bring their offerings too. Now that starts in verse 3. "Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak," and that's the elders, "saying, 'Take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So we have a goat, we have a calf, we have a lamb. We have an ox and a ram and grain. We have six offerings. Aaron and his sons were to make two offerings on that last day of their ordination ceremony, and the elders will make six offerings. And at Moses' calling, these men complied with Moses' command. Verse 5. So they took what Moses had commanded into the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Wow. So Moses has made another promise. And the people have gathered all around this complex. Not only the elders, but the people. So they all can see. And they're going to see the glory of the Lord with their eyes. And so they started the ceremony. It's the eighth day. Aaron's bull calf, his sin offering, would be first. Verse 7. So Moses then said to Aaron, "Come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded." So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Aaron's two offerings were for two purposes. Number one, the first offering was for himself. The second offering was for the people. Now, the word atonement means reconciliation between God and a person, or reconciliation between God and a group of people. So Aaron brought his bull calf sin offering first to reconcile himself to God. Now, the order of the sin offering was the same as the order of the sin offering 8 days before. A sin offering is a sin offering is a sin offering is a sin offering, just as the Lord detailed it over in chapter 4. So we present this order again in this lesson as we did just a few minutes ago. I want to review it again because I'm telling you, there is a pattern to everything in these offerings. And when you find out it's going to be a burnt offering or a sin offering or a sacrifice, a peace offering, a grain offering, or a guilt offering, it's always the same. It's the same old, same old. There's not that much to learn once you become acquainted with it. So with this offering, the animal is offered at its proper place at the tent of meeting. In this case, it's a bull. So where is it offered? It's offered at the doorway of the tent of meeting because that's where it's always done. The laying on of hands occurred to transfer the sin. The animal slain, its skin is cut up. The blood is sprinkled around the brazen altar, and it's rubbed on the four horns of the altar because it's a sin offering. Okay? And the fat was offered on all the rest of the animal, including the hide, was taken outside the camp and burned somewhere outside in a clean place. So now we're going to read the scripture to see that the order was followed by Moses. Aaron would bring the bull and slay it, and the blood was given to Moses. Verse 9. Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. The fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering. Then he offered up the smoke on the altar just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. So Aaron's ram burnt offering would be the second offering. The first one was for himself. It was a bull. Now this is the ram offering, and it's for him. And in this case, the offering was for the people of the nation. Once again, the order for the burnt offering was always the same. The only change would depend on the kind of animal being slain and where it was to be slain. So here is the order as we have already seen in this lesson. The animal, because it's a sheep, is offered on the north side of the brazen altar. The laying on the hands occurred, the animal slain, skinned, and cut up. The blood is sprinkled around the brazen altar. It's not rubbed on the four horns because this is a burnt offering. The legs and the entrails of the legs are washed. All the rest of the animal was burned to ashes on the brazen altar except for the hide, because the hide was given to the priest. So now we read this record that Aaron's second offering matched the order of the burnt offering. The first was a sin offering for himself, and now it's a burnt offering for the people. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. And they had it handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offerings on the altar. So the record matched the Lord's details from chapter 1 perfectly. Well, on that same day, Moses offered the six offerings presented by the elders for the nation of Israel. Each of the offering ceremonies were presented exactly in accordance with the guidelines presented by the Lord in the first six chapters of this book, where He described the offerings. So here, we come to the first of the six offerings for the people, verse 15. Then He presented the people's offering and took a goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. That's all Moses recorded about the goat sin offering. Yet because we've learned the details of the sin offering, we know exactly what took place on that day. The ceremony followed the order for the sin offering as follows. The animal was offered its proper place at the tent of meeting. In this case, it's a goat, north side of the altar. They laid the hands on it to transfer the sin. The animal was slain, skinned, cut up. Blood was rubbed on the four horns of the altar. The fat was offered. The rest of the animal, including the hide, was burned outside the camp, just perfectly. Then we come to the calf and the lamb for the burnt offering for the people. All Moses said about the calf and the lamb burnt offering was in one sentence. Verse 16, it's a burnt offering. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. It's a burnt offering. So we know what the snapshot is of how this is done. So Moses only had to give us one sentence. The animal of the calf is offered the proper place. That is the calf, being a bull or an ox, all the same of the bovine, the door of the tent of meeting. Laying on the hands occurred, transfer the sin. Animal slain, skinned, cut up. Blood sprinkled on the brazen altar, not rubbed on the four corners because it's a burnt offering. If it's a sin offering, it is rubbed on the four corners, but not for the burnt offering. Legs and entrails, which come into this part, are washed and put up there. The rest of the animal was burned to ashes on the brazen altar, except for the hide, and the hide is given to the priest. It's the same-o, the same-o, the same-o. Those two animals were offered that day as burnt offerings. The first was a calf. The second was a lamb. The calf was done at the door of the tent of meeting. The second was the lamb that was done to the north side of the altar, and the rest is all the same. Then there's the grain offering that they were required. With the sin and the burnt offering completed, the grain offering was brought to the altar, verse 17. Next, he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar beside the burnt offering of the morning. No details here, but we know the details because we've already studied the instructions that were given concerning the grain offering ceremony. So here's a snapshot of the ceremony. The ingredients of fine flour, oil, and incense were brought together, mixed, or could be brought separate, but they were going to be brought. Fine flour, oil, and incense. It could be raw, baked, pan-fried on a griddle, cooked in a pot, or roasted. No leaven or honey could be used or be anywhere there. The offering was headed, in this case, to Moses on the west side of the brazen altar where the birds would have been handed to them, but that's where it's handed to them. Moses took a handful of it, placed it on the brazen altar as a memorial portion, and the rest of the grain offering was given to the priest to be eaten. Well, also back in verse 3, Moses instructed those elders to bring a ram and an ox for the sacrifice of peace offering. Here they are offered. The ceremony for these two offerings were detailed in chapter 3. Here's a snapshot of the sacrifice of peace offering. The animal was brought to the tent of meeting at the appropriate place depending on what kind of animal it was. The laying on the hands occurred to transfer the sin. The animal was slain, skinned, cut up. The blood was sprinkled around the brazen altar, not rubbed on the four corners of the horns. The fat portions of the animal were placed on the brazen altar. the fat from the breast was put on the brazen altar. And the breast was waved before the Lord as a wave offering, like we saw over in the ordination offering, and then boiled to be eaten by the priest. And the rest of the animal was given to the priest to eat. The hide was also given to the priest. That's the sacrifice of peace offering. So with those guidelines from chapter 3, let us see what Moses said here in chapter 9, verse 21. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offering, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering, and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breast, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breast and the right thigh, Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. When it's a wave offering, it's a presentation of thank you, because those items, and here it's the breast and also the right thigh, as in the peace offering, are going to be boiled or cooked some way for the people to eat, the priest to eat. So with the six offerings made by the elders complete, they were all completed in perfect accord with the commands of the Lord found in the first six chapters of the book of Leviticus. Nothing was amiss. Nothing was misplaced. The Lord was pleased. And on that eighth day, after the offering of Aaron and his sons and the offerings of the elders for the nation of Israel were complete, Aaron stepped forward to present a blessing to the people. Verse 22. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. Picture, if you will, this scene in your mind. Moses was in charge of performing the ceremonies of these offerings on that day. These newly ordained priests were helping Moses. And when the offerings were completed, Aaron, who for the next 39 years would preside over all these offerings, stepped up towards the people and spoke a blessing. It could have been Moses to speak that blessing, but it was not. It was Aaron. Aaron was ordained. Aaron was ordained. And it was time for him to take the lead in presenting the offering of the Lord as the high priest. It was time for Moses to step aside from that position that he held only for the ordination of the first priest of the nation of Israel. From that time on, the priest would ordain the priest. Aaron gave the blessing, and he entered the tent of meeting with his brother Moses. Now we must wonder, what did they say to each other inside the tent that day? I could speculate, but we don't know what was said. But they did not stay in the tent very long, because there's people out there waiting for them. The Lord had a plan, and it involved showing Himself to His nation again. And after being in the tent of meeting for an unknown amount of time, Moses and Aaron came out before the people to bless them. Verse 23b. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Notice that the verse says, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. What does that mean? The glory of the Lord means the radiance and the glow from the Lord. Wherever you see that term, glory of the Lord, it means the radiance and the glow. That's what it means. One day in your future, when you see the Lord for the very first time, you will understand why the glory of the Lord means His radiance, no matter where it is said in the Scripture and no matter what context. You're going to see the glory of the Lord coming and moving towards you in His radiance. Moving on, the tabernacle stood inside that tent of meeting. Once both were in place, it would seem to onlookers that they were the same structure, but they were not. The tent of meeting was erected by the people first. And inside that tent of meeting, the Lord met with Moses to give him the instructions presented in this book of Leviticus. So then, on the day of the ordination, Moses could preside over the erection of the tabernacle inside that tent of meeting first, followed by the anointing of the tabernacle and the first day of the priest ordination. And on that day, the Lord showed Himself above the Ark of the Covenant between the two cherubs on the mercy seat, which acted as the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Did you catch what I said? On the day when they erected the tabernacle and completed that and consecrated it, back in that Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was with the mercy seat and the cherubs on it, the glow of the Lord came to reside in tabernacle in that tabernacle. Tabernacle means to reside or to live there. Moved from the Mount Sinai down to above the Ark of the Covenant. Hovering there between the two cherubs was the Shekinah glory of the Lord. You've heard that term, the Shekinah glory. Perhaps our best description of it would be the radiating cloud that hovered between these two carved cherubs on top of this mercy seat. And it was so bright that it gave light to the entire tabernacle, even from behind the veil. No doubt, when the door to the tabernacle was opened by Moses and Aaron, as they came out, the glow of the glory of the Lord shined forth and was clearly visible to all the people, even in the daylight hours. But then the Lord did something miraculous that only He could do. After Moses and Aaron had exited the tent of meeting and the blessing of the people with the glory of the Lord radiating from the tent behind them, the spectacular occurred. Verse 24. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their face. Picture that. Fire came out of the door of the tent of meeting, passed around Moses and Aaron and his sons, and consumed in an instant all the offerings on the brazen altar. It did not take hours for them to burn. In an instant, phew, the glory of the Lord took them and burned them, and they were gone. It only took the flash of an eye of the people, and the offerings were gone. No wonder they screamed and fell on their faces. You would have too had you been there. The presence of the living God is a fearful thing. And with that, the offerings on the brazen altar for the ordinance of the ordination of the tabernacle and the priests were over, and the altar had been licked clean by the tongues of the fire of the glory of the Lord. It would not be the last time the people would see this same glory of the Lord come forth from that tent in fire. And that will come in the next lesson in the next chapter. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are a miraculous God. And we thank You that when You say it, You'll do it. In Your name, amen.